Blog Talk Radio.
Downloading. Downloading. Establishing contact. All systems operational.
Welcome to the Forceology Radio Network.
Welcome to this edition of The Game. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Nico Riesco and Lisa Marie Latino. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Good. Well, let's see. We've been off for a couple weeks. I actually have watched some reruns of Jersey Shore. I'm not sure I'll ever watch that again, Lisa.
Premiere on Thursday. Oh, I can't wait. I've been counting down the seconds.
You're counting down the seconds. It's just like a show about fights. It's just bar fights.
Oh, I love it.
You love it, though. Okay. Well, that's fine. Hall of Fame yesterday. Andre Dawson went in. Nico, we did a show last night, Sports Talk New York. People could check it out, sportstalknewyork.com. We talked about Andre Dawson and our book, and I felt like it was great that he got inducted, but he also gave a good message about how players shouldn't do steroids and how kids shouldn't do steroids, and I think it's a good message because some people will say, oh, well, it's unrealistic or whatever. But I think it's a good message because if you noticed, and at least you can comment on it in a minute, but if you notice right now, Nico, nobody cares. Other than ESPN, nobody cares that A-Rod's chasing 600 homers. They don't care.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to make a deal.
You broke up a little on that, but I agree. At least, what do you sense about the A-Rod Homer situation? He didn't do it at Yankee Stadium. He's going to go and try and do it in Cleveland, but I don't sense that the fan base is all that excited about it.
I could care, honestly, less about anything that A-Rod does. I guess it's like painted, you know? I mean,
yeah.
He could hit, you know, 2,000 home runs in his career and – you know, they're not going to matter.
Yep,
you know,
they're
just looking for a story, A-Rod. You know, they figure we'll bring in the ratings, people will care, but people really don't care. Maybe like Hollywood-type people will, but not real baseball fans because he's considered a fraud and a cheat.
And it's interesting because you probably noticed I was talking to some people on Facebook about it, and there are some diehard Yankee fans that are going to support A-Rod no matter what, but honestly, I didn't get much opposition. So, and to hear you say it, I mean, I don't know any more diehard than you. I have to agree that I think, and I give Yankee fans a lot of credit, I think I would feel the same way if he were on my team and I would have to, you know, deal with the situation. I would just sort of let it go too. So I think it'll be just. He'll probably hit his 600th in Cleveland, and boy, there's probably no worse city to do it in because no one's going to care.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's going to care anyway. And
yeah,
I'm actually surprised that they're making such a huge deal out of it on ESPN. I mean, to me, it's not that big of a story, but whatever.
It's not. But, you know, like I always said, and Nico, you could comment on this. People could always disagree with me about, hey, saying I'm a baseball purist or whatever. And Nico, you knew I had a great discussion, and we had a great discussion with David Segee about it. But the point is, it's the guys like Andre Dawson, it's the guys like Willie Mays, it's when guys like that get passed on the record books that it really hurts them. And that's what hurts me is because, you know, when I see A-Rod get 660 homers someday, which he probably will, I can't compare him to Willie Mays. For one thing, his average is only – lifetime average is only 304. So for anything that he did, his lifetime average is still too low to me to even put him in that same class anyhow. But the point is, it has to hurt those guys who did it legitimately.
Yeah, it does. And I think possibly that could be why he sent that message, because there's really no reason why Andre Dawson has to even talk about steroids, because he wasn't really in the era where the players were actually using the steroids. You know, they kind of went back to the old-fashioned players. They would rub some salt on it if they were injured and things like that, where they just had to suffer the pain and you know, they didn't have the advantages of the steroids to heal quickly and things like that. So I think he sent a clear message to the Hall of Fame board that there's players out there like himself that have tremendous career stats and should not be overlooked by some of these players that are going to be out to be eligible here in the next couple years.
Yeah, and Lisa, I'm not sure if you saw some of the highlights, but did you see the way he was limping around the bases? Because this guy had no cartilage in his knees probably for like half his career.
No, I mean, I'm aware of like his career and everything. Yeah, I mean, it goes all the way down the line from when McGuire broke Maris's record, and, you know, and it's sad because those guys did it legit. They did it right. And, you know, and Pete Shears, like, you know, 3-4 generations from now, maybe this whole steroid thing is going to be forgotten about, and people will consider, oh, A-Rod was the best player ever. And, I mean, that's just not true, and that's just not right.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Dan Haren trade. He went to the Angels. The Angels are currently 7 out. It's amazing what the Texas Rangers are doing, considering everything that's going on in their organization. But you know what? They have a good road record. They have an exceptional home record, actually the best home – well, second-best home record to the Yankees in the American League. Or Tigers are right there, too. Pretty close, both of them. Yet – I don't know, Nico. I don't know if Dan Haren is going to be enough for the Angels anyhow. I think he's a little bit too injury-prone, and if I were the Angels, I'd have held on to Saunders in those 3 picks. What do you think?
I like the Dan Haren trade. I think the Angels definitely needed somebody to go head-to-toe with Cliff Lee. I think the Rangers made that move. When they picked up Cliff Lee, they pretty much sealed up the West, and the Angels got their work cut out for them. I think Haren gives them a little bit of mystery. They don't know who he is. He's been in the National League for a while. It's been some time since he pitched with the A's in the American League. I think a lot of those players have forgotten about him. I think he can add some spark, and I think that's exactly what the Angels need, and I think that's why they got him.
Spark makes sense. Lisa, are you worried at all? Because I know if there's one team in baseball that the Yankees don't want to face in the playoffs, it's the Angels.
I'm not worried yet. Too early. I mean, am I as confident as I was maybe a month ago talking about my team now? But I think push comes to shove, we'll be fine.
Well, all right. Let me ask you, what do you have to not be confident about? They have the best record in baseball, a .639 winning percentage. What can you be upset about?
No, it's not that I'm upset about anything, but you see chinks in the armor. You see Pettit's on the DL. You know, you worry about how they're going to hold up in the long run because, you know, their main cogs are, if you will, you know, they're old and, you know, obviously injury prone, and you don't know. You know, I mean, it would have been nice to maybe get someone. But, I mean, that being said, I'm happy the Cliff Lee thing fell through because – I mean, even Yankee fans were speaking out against that. Like, it would be too much to have that. Like, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah, I think they can win with what
they have.
I agree with that, too. I think they can win with what they have. And I'm sure they'll pick up somebody minor, but they don't need to give up any of their big core players. I you know, big core rookies. I don't agree with that at all. And I agree with your sentiment on that. Nico, so let's look around and see. So we've got the Yankees, White Sox, Rangers. Those are the 3 leaders. I'd say right now, you know, they're all in the thick of it. We've got the Rays, Twins, even the Angels will count as all heavy contenders. But then when you start getting to the more fringe, Red Sox, Tigers are 2 out, so they're pretty much in it. But, you know, you're talking about the Red Sox, you're talking about the A's. When you start talking about those teams and you're talking about whether they're buyers or sellers, when do you think in your mind you decide? Because I'll tell you, that's the one thing the wild card has kind of screwed up. It's kind of blurred the lines and has given teams false hope over the years as to whether they're really in it or not. But right now, if you're looking at the Red Sox and you're 8 games out and you're actually sitting 2nd in the wild card, 5 out, when do you decide if you're really in it or not?
I think the Boston Red Sox are always in it, and I think they always have to stay in it to the very, very end. So they have to do whatever they can. They can always make a push. It's, you know, they got the home fans. Whenever they're at home, they have a chance. They got the big Josh Beckett coming back. I think that's going to add some life to them. Dice, Kay, Lester. I think they've got too good of a team to be out of it at this point.
Okay, and I probably feel the same way. Now, I'll tell you, an interesting dynamic, and Lisa, you'll probably get a chuckle out of this, but in the Central with the White Sox, Twins, and Tigers, whoever doesn't win first place, the other teams have no shot at the wild card. Already the Twins and Tigers are 7 and 8 games out of the wild card. Just shows how weak that division is.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they're only...
Russ, I mean, this, all this talk about the league is nice and everything, but what is going on with your Mets?
We're getting to it. We're getting to it.
But,
I have to have a...
But yeah, but it just boggles my mind. This team was in first place. And now,
right.
You know, when Jerry, you know, saved his job, you had Ike Davis, like the golden boy, and, you know, you guys are looking good, and it's just, like, collapsing. Like, I've never seen anything like it before. You can't make it up.
You can't make it up. All right. We'll switch to the National League, and we'll talk about the Mets, who at this point definitely are pretenders, but not necessarily because of talent. I mean, look, I didn't think they were going to do well this year, and I still think they're not doing all that well. And I think it's because of the manager. I think, really, I've been watching a lot of games. And Lisa, you look at games where, as an example, Jerry Manuel in a game last week, game was tied, winning runs on second and third, and he's got the outfield playing in with two outs, and the Giants announcers are like, why are the left field and right fielders playing so close? It's actually two outs. You know, they could play as far back as they go. I mean, if you get a base hit, they get a base hit. The game's over anyhow. And it's little things like that. It's yesterday. It's R.A. Dickey on the mound. Kid's clearly hurt. And Jerry's, like, letting him discuss with him whether he should stay in the game or not. And then he fields the ball off the mound. And you could see he's clearly hurt. And he makes the play. And then they take him out. Now, if R.A. Dickey happens to miss any time, which, again, I didn't think he was a significant pickup offseason, but now he's turned into a core pitcher for them, well, he may have just ruined his season or at least – put a damper on his season because now he could be out for a couple weeks with a groin strain. I think it's those kinds of things, Lisa. I think he's hitting Beltran fourth. I mean, Beltran's not recovered. Don't hit him fourth. They should have kept Ike Davis fourth the entire time. The kid was doing the job. Leave him alone. It's putting Beltran back in center with a brace on his knee. He's not the same call as Beltran at the moment. Right now, Angel Pagan is a better center fielder. Put Beltran in right. Let Pagan play center. It's those kinds of things, I think, that are really derailing the season because Jerry Manuel seems to be, like, ultra-loyal to his players and is ignoring the obvious.
Maybe he's doing it intentionally to get fired. Like, he doesn't want to quit, so he just wants to, like, do all these, like, little screw-ups just so, like, everyone, he'd be forced out. I don't know.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, the other thing about it, Nico, and you could talk about this, when you're 30-16 at home, but you're 20-33 on the road, you're going nowhere. It doesn't matter who's in your team. If you can't win any games on the road, you're not going to win.
No, you're not going to win. I think Jerry Manuel is kind of scrambling here. I think he did leave Dickey a little bit too long, trying to get too much out of his team. He just hasn't had anything all year, and he's been patching pieces together here and there, trying to make a good mix, make a good run here, a good run there. It's just not working, and I think he's just, I think he's, like I said, he may be a little bit above water here.
And I think the Jerry Manuel watch is on. It should have been on before, but like Lisa pointed out, that winning streak kind of killed that. I'm sure Bobby Valentine's watching in the studios of ESPN, chomping at the bit, knowing he could do a better job. And guys, I wrote an article the other day, like, Nico, Leo Mazzoni's out there. Now, Dan Worthen's maybe a nice guy, but he's not a great pitching coach, and he's not doing anything with these Mets pitchers. Case in point, Oliver Perez is a lefty specialist in the bullpen, getting paid about $15-16 million this year because he can't start. So then he comes in as a lefty specialist the other game in extra innings, gives up the game-losing homer. I mean, I would have to think Leo Mazzoni probably could straighten things out a bit.
Yeah, and I think Omar Minaya's got to step in too. I mean, when you send somebody down and he just refuses to go down to the minors to get to work, that tells you something. And it's a slap in the GM's face, and then the GM continues to let him play and puts him in the bullpen. It's a distraction to the team. He comes in and loses a game. I mean, Omar's got to make a decision and say, hey, this guy's out of here. Release him. We owe him $15 million. He's not listening to us. He's not doing what we're asking him to do. I think Omar, it could be his decision to play Beltran in center in the brace just because of the money that's going out. We don't know all of the facts here. All we know
right.
is that it's a mess. Whatever's happening, whoever's making those decisions, I think it's time for the Mets to have a shakeup.
Yeah, they definitely need a shakeup. Actually, and I looked, it's only 12, me and Nico. So when he's trying to get lefties out, one lefty a game, he's making $12 million. Lisa, even the Yankees don't have somebody paid that high.
That's fine. I'm personally rooting for Bobby Valentine to get flipped in there. You know me, I'm a huge Bobby V fan. Personally,
yeah.
Like I've gotten to know him through like working at the Fan when he was with the Mets, and he was just awesome. I think he's just great, and I don't know, maybe that is the shakeup they need. You know, I think he'll bring like new energy, new fire, new passion, and. You know, I think Jerry should be done, but I don't know. You think it's going to happen soon?
Yeah, it's going to happen soon as far as the shakeup. But I will say this too, Nico. Lisa's right in the sense that, you know, Valentine burned himself out the last time, and that's fine. But he did a great job with really some good Met teams, but at times they weren't great Met teams, and he got the most out of them. I mean, this team certainly has some talent, and he certainly could do more with the talent that they have. And I think that would be the biggest thing. It's not even like they need to pick up anybody else because they're pretty much a mess financially. I think he could just come in and give them a renewed energy and give them a chance, because you could see all these glaring mistakes with Jerry Manuel. If he comes in fresh, then everybody will just have to perform, because the other day, I guess it was about a week ago, Alex Cora had to tell guys, you shouldn't be laughing and whooping it up in the locker room after a loss. We're on a road trip, and I think at the time they were 1-7, and he was kind of sick of it. And this is a guy who's, you know, a part-time player, but obviously loves the game. He always plays hard. And when you have to have Alex Cora tell the rest of the guys to basically shut up, you know there's a problem in the locker room.
Yeah, and I think Cliff Lee was the key there. They needed him. If
they
there's
did.
One organization that needed something like a Cliff Lee to change things, it was the Mets. And they just didn't go out, and they just didn't make it happen.
No, they needed Lee. If they got Oswalt, they would stay in the race, but I don't put out much hope, because Omar just went on this West Coast trip, and the fact that Jerry Manuel still has a job right this moment is not good. I mean, Lisa, you remember when they fired Willie Randolph and everybody made a big deal about it because it was on Father's Day. Like, so what's the hold up here? Are they waiting for the best PR moment?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I think they're just like, they're stumped about what to do right now. I mean, and besides, the Mets are not famous for, you know, being PR savvy.
No, they're not.
They're not
PR savvy.
No, so I don't, you know, there is no, like, good time. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but it's Monday, you would think, and the Mets are off today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think that today would be the day.
Well, actually, no, are they off? Like, they may be playing St. Louis today. Let's see. I'm looking. No, they are off. They play St. Louis tomorrow. So you're right. Today would be the perfect day. Haven't heard it yet. We'll see. We'll wait. But, Nico, looking at the rest of the National League, Braves are pretty much going along the plan. The Phillies are interesting because, you know, they're going to show you signs. They have hitters. They clearly don't have enough pitching. But they're five games out. But in reality, are they really close? Because in the wild card race, they're fourth in the wild card race. So you wouldn't put them as much of a contender in the wild card race, because teams in the Central and the West are just killing them record-wise. But five games out in the East is certainly doable. But when you break down the Phillies and you see that they're 24-29 on the road, kind of makes me wonder whether they really, in another week or so, are going to be a buyer or a seller.
Yeah, and the Phillies are the same. Well, they needed Cliff Lee. I mean, they lost him, and they're probably really – that was probably the biggest decision for them that caused their disaster, because if you look back, they would have Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay on the same staff, and that probably would have been what they needed.
Yep, and I can tell you that it's still a sore point here in town, and it still gets talked about on sports talk radio, and Ruben Amaro doesn't want to talk about it, and you know, and I can't blame the guy, but – you know, it's not his fault. They decided, the owners decided, they were only going to spend so much money, so you can't put it on the GM. And I think that's the problem that Sports Talk Radio did here in town, was they sort of blamed the GM, but you can't blame the GM if you can't spend the money. I think it's a matter of the team just decided we had made this much money, we're going to make that much money again, and we're not going to spend any more than that. So guess what? We're not going to keep Cliff Lee, and they didn't, and right now it's hurting them. Other than that, the Reds are a half game out with the Cardinals. You could make the argument that we're looking at either the Reds or the Giants as the wild card. I don't think the Dodgers have enough this year. I've seen them play at their home. I've seen them play a lot this year for whatever reason, maybe because Joe Torre. And I don't think they have enough hitting, and I just think their pitching's just a little off, and it's just not going to be good enough. So I think when we're talking about the rest of the contenders, I think we're talking Cardinals, Reds, Padres, Giants.
Well, let's not kick the Dodgers out too early. I think they are the favorites in the Oswald sweepstakes. I think Oswald has indicated he would like to play with the Dodgers. And I think if they did get Oswald, I think they'd be a different team.
Yeah, well, here's the interesting thing, and the reason why I guess you can't kick them out, the one ray of hope if you're a Dodgers fan, they're great at home. They're 32-21. They're 21-25 on the road, which isn't great, but it's not terrible. But here's the stat where if you were going to have some hope, they're 24-8 against the Western teams.
Yeah, and
they're going to play the West down the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to look at that and say, okay, maybe that's what gives them a chance. And we'll see. The rest of them are sellers. I just, you know, that's the way I feel. But, Lisa, talk about, we've got an event coming up this week. Longshot Productions is going to be film restaurant opening. Give everybody an idea of what that's going to be like.
Yeah, we're going to be down there. There's a really cool Latin restaurant in Belmar, New Jersey, exit 98 off the Garden State Parkway. And we're having a grand opening of that. My company, we do, besides videos and show development, we do like PR and promotions. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you definitely know that because that's all I do. So we're going to be down there Thursday night. Russ will be in attendance. I will be there as well, you know, running the whole thing. So if you are in the area, stop by. It's going to be a beautiful night. It's a beautiful week down at the Jersey Shore, and we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Although, Lisa, I'm not as tanned up as you are, but I'm not too bad this year either.
I work too much. And you know what? Honestly, it's been so, Nico, I don't know what the weather's like by you, but it has been disgusting here in New Jersey. You can't even walk outside. You can't even breathe. Like, if you go
it's
to the beach, like, it doesn't even matter. Yeah, it's like 106 degrees, like, every day. So, no, I'm not even that tan either. I may escape my work for a couple hours tomorrow to tan up. But we'll see.
See, there you go. So
yeah.
We'll be looking forward to that event. And Nico, let's talk a little bit more about the book. You know, we have the book out there. It's called Strike 3. People can get it on Amazon. They can get it on BarnesandNoble.com. They can get it on Lulu.com. And I think as the second half of the season starts really kicking in, and we'll talk about what happened in the All-Star game right in a minute or so. But I think as it kicks in, I think this is a good time for people to get the book, especially based on things that Andre Dawson said, and I think based on the economics of the sport. And I just think overall right now, if your team is starting to fall out of it, hey, it's a good read.
It is a good read. I mean, it's something that we did with a lot of passion and dedication to the game. There's a lot of soul in the game. A lot of passionate feelings, especially Chapter 11 when we talk about change could help the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that anyone who reads this book, I think once they finish it, I think they will see a better game.
Yeah, and I think that's a key point. I think we really we're trying to do that. Now, Nico, we'll talk about the All-Star game because we tried to do a show before it and Blog Talk just didn't, you know, have it going that day and the switchboard broke down and you guys had called in, but the National League did win, as you were hoping they would, because you were thinking this was the year, so you were right. You were more optimistic than I was, and now they got the home field advantage out of it. What did you take out of that All-Star game other than the home field? That's all I really took out of it, although I will say that it was okay to watch. It wasn't a great game.
No, but it was just, again, it was the greatest players in the world playing against each other, which sometimes it's a boring game because nobody will get a hit because the pitchers are throwing 99 miles an hour and they're so awesome, and then the defense is so awesome. So it appears to be a boring game, for those of us who just love the game and love seeing great players, it's one of the awesome games of the year. And I think the fact that the National League players won finally, I think it's going to give them a little bit of momentum when they do get the home field advantage in the World Series. And it would be nice to see a National League team actually win a World Series. I think this could be the year.
Well, it could be the year. We'll see. Lisa, did you take anything out of that All-Star game? I know you probably didn't watch the Home Run Derby. I know I didn't because I just felt like the talent wasn't there. And if Big Poppy could win that, I sort of was snickering at that because, let's face it, his bat slowed down a lot. But was there anything you took out of it?
I did watch some of the Home Run Derby, but no, I mean, you know, it stinks that, you know, the NL won because, you know, I wanted my team to have home field advantage when they play in the World Series this year, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Now, were you watching because of Nick Swisher? You were rooting on Nick Swisher, weren't you?
Excuse me?
I was saying you were rooting on Nick Swisher, weren't you?
Well, of course. But I was just with my comment. I just, like, was hearing myself talk. Like, how arrogant are Yankee fans, though? Like, when we play in the World Series this year, I want home field advantage. Like it's a foregone conclusion. But, no, I mean, the All-Star game, I like to tune in for, like, the opening ceremonies, you know, seeing everybody get introduced. I don't know. I still get, like, teary-eyed. I don't know. That stuff is, like, very, like, emotional to me. But, I had it on, but I didn't really care.
All right, now, Lisa, here's the big zinger. I thought they did a nice job in the All-Star game, by the way, with Bob Shepard introducing Derek Jeter. But what did you feel?
We haven't even, we didn't even talk about Steinbrenner,
And we're going to talk about George in a second. And we have about 3 minutes, so we have enough time. But tell me what your thoughts were about the players not showing up to Bob Shepard's funeral and, like, this fabricated story being made up and not even, like, Derek Jeter being there. What was your thought about that?
Yeah, that was actually really surprising. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't think there's any excuse for it. And Derek, since he's, I didn't know about it. Like,
yeah.
I just found out about it now. Like, that was poor. That was like an A-Rod move.
It was. And actually, the Yankees. The Yankees did a good job, though, Lisa, and they didn't hide behind it. They said, listen, we didn't have any transportation set up for them. They were on their own, so they didn't let the players hide behind the team. So I thought PR-wise, they did a very good job with that because even they seemed like they were probably a little upset. But let's talk about George Steinbrenner because I grew up during that era in New York, certainly was a Yankee fan up to 73. Then they traded Bobby Mercer. Then I stopped liking the Yankees and started hating them. George was the reason. But I have to say, over the years, I got to figure out, because I was 10 at the time, right? So I got to figure out really all the crazy things that George did. He did because he wanted his team to win. The guy's heart was in the right place. Sometimes he went too much in one direction, too much in the other. But I have to say, and this is why I wrote an article on Sportsology about it, because I said, from my perspective, a guy who didn't like him his whole career, I have to say I appreciated what he did for the game and what he did for Yankee fans because, look, it's not like the Yankees were great when he took over. They weren't. I used to watch those teams. And I watched the Yankee old-timer game, and you saw guys like Horace Clark and some of the really bad Yankees even on that old-timers team.
Yeah,
I think the Yankees were terrible when he took over the team. I remember in the 80s, they would just lose and lose and lose until Steinbrenner started bringing the Dave Winfields and the Tim Raines, and he would make a move. It's like every year he would bring a free agent and really transform that team into the team it is today.
And, Lisa, what were your thoughts?
I mean, I pretty much echo what Nico said, you know?
Yeah.
Was it a sad
day for you, though? Did you feel bad as a fan?
You know what was weird? This was really weird. When Bob Shepard died, I get, you know, I'm on, like, the Yankees PR list, and we get, you know, all their press releases and everything, and a message came through my inbox that said, you know, statement from George M. Steinbrenner III, and I read it, and I, like, rolled my eyes. Like, as mean as that is, I'm like, the guy has basically been, you know, a vegetable for the past couple of years. Like, he really put out a statement. Like,
Yeah. Every
weekend at Bernie's, like, that's what I felt like. Like, you know, there's just, like, how George popped up and pretending that he's alive and well, and he wasn't. And then, as mean as that is, like, that was the truth towards the end. And then, you know, only a couple days later to, you know, hear that he passed away, that was crazy. But, you know, people like seem to forget like who, what kind of guy he was. Like, yeah, he did great things, but he also did bad things, and like a lot of people were like forgetting about that. But then some writers were like, listen, like straight up, he was like a terror to work for, you know. But
yep.
He was entertaining. He cared about the fans, you know, no matter what he did, he always had our best interests at heart. You can't deny that. And, you know, he's going to be missed. I mean, it's sad when anybody passes away. And George was awesome. He was a character. He was great. But, you know, what are you going to do? He lived a great life. And, you know, hopefully they'll win another World Series in remembrance of him this year.
No, I totally agree, and it was well said, and actually didn't know about that PR stuff, so that's kind of interesting. And, guys, that's the kind of insight you can get on this show and from Lisa, and I think it's pretty interesting because for all the stories I heard this week, I didn't hear that, so I enjoyed hearing it. That's going to end this week's edition of The Game. We went a little over on time, but people can catch still in archives, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Okay, thanks, Russ.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, Russ. All right, bye.